Sometimes just the thing to help you get into the Christmas spirit is a spirit. As head drink master for 28 Springs in Siloam Springs, KC Letellier perfects drinks for every menu and for every season. He is an advocate for local foods and uses them whenever possible. KC is also a lifelong learner and an educator. He shares what he learns through themed dinners and tastings, often bringing in local farmers to share their stories. And for the winter edition of Edible Oaks, Arkansas, KC shares the story of Black Apple Crossing, a cidery in Springdale. In fact, it's their cover story. But before he tells us about it, he jumps behind the bar on University Street to mix up some holiday cheer.
All right, so far we have fresh squeezed lemon juice, and we have our house-made pomegranate syrup. And I really would like this to be something that that anybody can do with just not a ton of expensive ingredients. So I want to narrate each one as we go. So the pomegranate syrup is really easy to make, good pomegranate juice, and I really like Palm Wonderful. Equal parts by volume, pomegranate juice, and good cane sugar. Just warm the pomegranate juice enough that you can melt the sugar into it. That's palm syrup. It's the right level of sweetness and color that any cocktail that calls for grenadine, you can use it as a substitute, but it's better. So we use that in place of grenadine in all our cocktails, and it's great and easy to make. It's one of those things that it's a small thing, but it makes a big difference in terms of cocktail quality. As does fresh pressing your juice. They need to be fresh every day. It makes a really big difference. So those two so far, and now we have green chartreuse, which is one of the world's oldest liqueurs, originally conceived as medicine by the Carthusian monks. This is a really fun thing. So chartreuse the liqueur is older than chartreuse the color. The color is named after the liqueur. And that really wonderful soft green color is just natural. So those three things so far, and now Calvados. And this is Domaine DuPont Calvados from Normandy. This is made by a man named Etienne. He has 73 acres of apples, and 7 varieties of apples go into his Calvados. And now we're gonna add ice, and it's gonna get shaken. It's nice to have really nice Japanese mixing tins and shaking glasses, but if you're making cocktails at home, you can make do with a mason jar. Almost anything that will hold liquid will work for shaking cocktails. Give it a good sort of firm 8 to 10 second shake. Once you sort of feel the container that you're shaking in start to frost, you're in a good place. For a cocktail like this, ideally, you'll want to double strain, or however you strain, try to leave as much of the sort of ice shards as you can behind.
So when you mean double strain, you'll do it twice? No, I see what you're doing.
So I'm pouring it through a Hawthorn strainer and then through a mesh strainer. So I catch ice chips. And the reason you do this is all those ice chips will melt relatively quickly once your cocktail is finished being made. And so your dilution ratio changes. And ideally, you're going to get to a cocktail where you've had some dilution in the process of shaking the cocktail. And once you hit that sweet spot, you don't dilute it anymore. So you try to take the chips out of the drink.
Well, and you poured that into a champagne flute?
Yes, a champagne flute, and a champagne flute that I filled with ice ahead of time and let it chill down. You want the glass that you're serving in, especially for a drink like this that we're serving up. So up as opposed to on the rocks, so there's no additional ice once the drink is finished, so we want the glass to be as cold as possible. So we're almost done, and now we're gonna top it with beer. So I'll be right back. All right, So now that is topped with Ozark Golden Ale from Ozark Brewing Company over in Rogers. And so what we have is kind of a variation on the French 75. In light of the French 75 being named after a cannon, and this one being in several ways a little bit lower alcohol, this is the, and also Christmas themed, this is the Red Ryder Range model. And it will poke your eye out if you have enough of them.
And a garnish.
And a garnish. And as is the case with a lot of cocktails, the garnish is more than just something to look at. The garnish is actually part of the flavor profile. So I have a nice, big, wide strip of orange peel. It's three quarter inch wide and probably 4 inches long. And we're going to express those oils, which is just sort of say, we're gonna like squeeze this peel over and over along its length over the drink and get all those oils into the drink itself, and then kind of brushing the rim of the glass, and then the peel actually goes into the glass as well. Now it's ready.
There you go. The Red Ryder Range model.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm gonna take a sip. Cheers. I like it.
Good.
I do. I like it. The beer, I mean, yeah, the beer's not what I would expect, yeah, in a cocktail like that, but it's good. I like it. But when you approach a holiday cocktail or you're approaching a new season, what sort of things do you think about?
It's sort of what produce is in season. It's kind of how the air smells, and also a little bit of like what you feel like you need, what you need to have contrasted, so that in the summer that you want something that feels bright and delicate to kind of escape how oppressive the heat feels. In the winter, you want something that feels more spice and something more rounded and comforting.
Well, you've been here a while. You're the first bartender in 70 years. I mean, you're a part of the community. You also, I mean, you do a lot of work in the community that you live in.
Yeah. There's, I feel like one of the things that's been really important to me is our farmers market. And it's been really amazing to see it grow from something that was just a few tables to something that really has great variety and feels like it has its feet under it. And with the bar and the restaurant, that's been something that we've really worked hard to champion. Featuring our farmers as much as we can in our menu. And then when we do those tasting events, so many times we bring a farmer in and have them talk about something that we're highlighting on that menu and its story and its connection to the community. And I feel like that's a really important thing for our farmers market to really become something that isn't just a hobby, it's something that's vital, is like making those connections and, yeah.
There you go.
Well, something else that is telling the story of farmers and things in our community, food in our community, is Edible Oaks Arkansas. And you recently wrote an article for their winter issue on the cidery in Springdale. How did your involvement with the quarterly, how did that evolve?
I'm just so excited about having Edible here. It feels like Edible is the thing that has taken all the diverse voices of the food scene and given them cohesiveness.
Had you been to Black Apple Crossing before pursuing the article?
No, I hadn't. So I had heard that they were coming and was really excited, but then this was just like the perfect opportunity to go and talk to all of the guys and just really understand how their business is working. And it's a really complicated thing, as they are having to do this without a lot of precedent to work from. If you open a brewery, there's like 100 books you can read and hundreds and hundreds of brewers who can give you like the latest information on where legislation is, how to buy great used equipment if you need to, like all of that's there. For starting a cidery, you kind of have to write all that. It's the only cidery in Arkansas, and there are only like 17 cideries in the country, so it is a really new thing. And it really makes sense for us to have this here in the Ozarks.
Well, it's obvious that you're very passionate about local foods, and you recently gave a toast at a farm-to-table dinner, and I'm just sitting here talking to you in the last 20 minutes. I can see why Amanda Cawthron was so, moved by your toast that she printed it in the winter edition of Edible Ozark, Arkansas. And, you know, she said that this is sort of her wish for 2016. Can you tell me a little bit about how you wrote that toast, how you limited all your thoughts and feelings into, you know, just a few paragraphs?
So the toast was an attempt to celebrate what we were doing at that farm-to-table dinner without just kind of lapsing into nostalgia. In trying to create a food scene, that nostalgia is a really dangerous shorthand. Even like doing what we have done, but figuring out how to do it organically, that's not good enough. We've got to figure out ways that actually build soil, not just damage it as little as possible, but make more soil for the next generations. And we can do it. Like, agriculture has the potential to actually make the land better. But it's a different way of thinking about agriculture. And our farmers are doing that, and it's really wonderful to see. I visit the farmers market, and what would be 20 minutes worth of shopping always takes me 2 hours, because I'm stopping and talking with the farmers and talking about philosophy and sustainability and ways that they're making this a better place.
That was head drink master of 28 Springs, Casey Lutulier. We will post a picture of and the recipe for the Red Rider range model on our website, Ozarks at Large. For more information about the restaurant and their upcoming events, visit 28springs.com. And for the winter edition of Edible Ozarkansas, just go to edibleozarkansas.com. And this is Ozarks at Large.